She's calling in.
Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Dr. John Stamey with a few technical issues, live from Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and welcome to ScaryCast Tuesday. How is everybody doing tonight? I hope you're doing well. And tonight we've got a very special guest and a good friend of ours, Lori Wade. First of all, I'd like to introduce my co-host for the evening, Matt Delph. How are you doing tonight, Matt?
I'm doing excellent. Full moon tonight.
Well, great. Sorry for that little bit of dead air. We just had a hard time getting on tonight. But anyway, it's great to be here and great to be with you. And we got a wonderful guest. She is a friend of mine. She has been to a number of Georgia Bigfoot conferences. She is an accomplished Bigfoot hunter. She is a member of the BFRO, Bigfoot Field Research Organization. And I want to welcome Lori Wade to ScaryCast Tuesday. How you doing tonight, Lori?
Hey, I'm doing great. How are you?
We are so glad you're here. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thank you for inviting me.
You've got a wonderful list of accomplishments. You bring some of the coolest little Bigfoot dolls I've ever seen. Oh, my gosh. People just love them. So it's great to have you on here with us. I'm going to start the questioning, and then Matt and I will just alternate asking you some interesting questions. Tell me, how did you get involved in the world of Bigfoot? Do you mind that question?
You know, I wish I could answer that. I mean, I think I've always kind of believed in Bigfoot, but I went on my first expedition in 2013, in April of 2013, as a matter of fact. And after that, you know, I was sold hook, line, and sinker. That's all I wanted to do. And, you know, much to my husband's chagrin, he doesn't like it. he says I'm obsessed with it, and he's probably right. But I love it. There's what's not to love? What's not to love about doing all things Bigfoot?
It's interesting. I just was talking with a gentleman who had contacted me because of the Jacksonville, North Carolina Comic-Con, and he had found me on ScaryCast on Facebook. And he said, are you the Dr. John from Facebook? I said, yes. And he said, you know, I'm interested in other paranormal things, and I'd love to talk. I said, what are you interested in? I said, number one, period, Bigfoot, exclamation point. Number two, exclamation point, cryptids in general. And you know what? When you just love Bigfoot, you just love Bigfoot, don't you?
Well, you do. You do. You love everything about it. I mean, I tell people all the time, I'm like, do you like to hike? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, do you like to camp? And they're like, yeah. And I'm like, okay, then just throw hunting Bigfoot in there. Yeah. It's just fun.
Well, you see, and another thing, and I'm sorry, I'm going over my time. Matt, I'm going to ask a second related question. I'm going to make a statement. I have found some of the very nicest people in the world are interested in the paranormal, and they are interested in Bigfoot. And really, the people, I think not only is Bigfoot wonderful, because Bigfoot exists, Bigfoot is there, Bigfoot does, the real Bigfoot does great things and it helps a lot of people. But the people that are involved with Bigfoot, Lori, don't you agree that they're really wonderful people?
Absolutely. I mean, my best friends, whom I would have never met in any other walk of life, they are all Bigfoot people. And, I mean, I consider it a blessing. I consider it a blessing for all the people that I've met and have maintained really close friendships with.
Yeah, and I know, I mean, I met, like this weekend we were hosting the Frogman Festival in Cincinnati, and I met about 10 brand new, really good friends because of my association with cryptids. Of course, Matt was there, and Grumpy was there, and that was a lot of fun seeing them. But, you know, just the people are so wonderful. They're really a cut above everybody else, and I just want to say that. And, of course, Lori, we think that of you. We think you're great. And I don't know, I haven't talked to you, and it's been a little while, but I certainly hope
it's
that you can join
years,
us.
It's been a few years, actually.
I know, and I hope that you can join us at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference on April 1st. We'll talk about that later. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay, great. Matt, your turn.
Yeah, as you were talking about, like Lori, it's family. I mean, it's a close family, the whole group of people that you meet in this. Definitely blessed. It has brought a lot of people together, if it wasn't for the research and stuff. But, okay, I'm curious, Lori, when was you said your first expedition was in 2013?
Mm-hmm.
When did you first start hosting your own expedition?
2016, I believe, is when I started hosting. Gosh, and I've kind of lost count of how many I've done. I've done many, many privates, but for the BFRO, I think, let's see, 2, 4, 6. I think I'm at like number 21. Or somewhere like that, 2021. I know COVID year I hosted 4 for the BFRO, which everybody just wanted to get out. I was shocked at how full every expedition became because everybody wanted to do something, and, you know, everybody was quarantined. And in talking to the Forest Service, you know, to get the permits and stuff, you had to tell them, it's like, look, we're following the protocols. We're outdoors, you know, we don't have to wear our mask outdoors, but we did, you know, we did the little things that we could do to try to keep away from each other.
Now, whenever what is the farthest expedition you've done away from your home area? Was it Canada, I believe, maybe?
The farthest I've went, I went to Vancouver,
yeah.
Island.
Okay.
Yeah, I went to Vancouver Island one year. I did a private expedition with some friends. We went up to British Columbia for 10 days. Been to the UP a couple of times, Wisconsin, pretty much everywhere in the southeast. But yeah, Vancouver Island and British Columbia were the farthest that I've been, and I would love to do them again.
Now, were you the host, or were you the
guest? No, I was a guest at Vancouver Island, and I hosted somewhat the private one in British Columbia. Actually, it was me and 4 guy friends, which I know that sounds odd, but we kind of just all got together and went. So it wasn't anything that was, you know, it wasn't a paid expedition. It was just something we planned and went and did and had the most amazing time. Just, we were so far from anything. You know, we were two hours from the nearest town. We were so far down in Forest Service roads that, I mean, it took an hour and a half to get to any regular road.
Kind of like where I live.
Well, I mean, you know, when we were there, there was a fire ban on, and Forest Ranger actually came down there a couple of days, and he would dig through every campfire. We were the only people there, and he was telling us, he said, you know, if I even find ashes, you're going to jail and there's a fine. And we're like, trust us, we haven't had any fire going. We knew about the fire ban, but talk about dark. It's really dark when you're way out there and you don't have any city lights filtering through the sky, and you can't even have a campfire.
Now, what time of year was this?
It was actually in August. That was in August, okay. The first week of August in 2017.
So it wasn't
No, it wasn't winter, but okay. who camps without a campfire? You know,
exactly.
There's just something special about it. It can be 90 degrees, and you got to have a campfire at night. That's just
exactly.
part of it.
Very true. I guess I was going to ask. Did you guys have any activity, and what's the climate and the area of the how does it compare to, like, the southeast? I know it's totally different because farthest I've been is Maine, but I've never been to the west coast area, and so I'm kind of curious what the environment up there was like and compared to, like, where I go with you a lot on the southeast ones. But can you tell a huge difference in the air and the wildlife? And, I mean, was it a huge change? Did you have to kind of relearn the area and what kind of different animals you're dealing with and all that's part of it? I know, but how much did you have to adapt? Are you there?
Is Lori there?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Okay. Well, I don't know what happened, but anyway, the South is full of hardwoods, and, you know, down here where we're doing stuff, full of rhododendrons around the streams and stuff. Up there, it's just almost all the trees are some type of pine, some type of conifer tree. And, you know, there was one time we were on this rocky beach to this lake, and this lake was 600 feet deep. And, we didn't see it. Like I said, we didn't see another person. But, you know, on the other shore, we saw bears walking, and we were in grizzly territory. We didn't see any, thank God. But even when the ranger came, he told us it was a glacier lake. So there was, you know, the water coming down out of the mountains and extremely cold, even in August. I mean, it was all you could do to step your toes in it. And you were thinking, I don't care if I take a bath all week long. This water is too cold. But the ranger had told us, he said, you know, if y'all had waited one more week, he said, you wouldn't be on this beach because you would be fighting the grizzlies and the eagles in the salmon run. So we were like, well, we obviously didn't plan that great because, you know, we barely missed all that. But just totally different. We did have some activity one night that, you know, we just heard growling, and we really don't know what it was. It was behind these big trees that had washed up on the beach. They had had a landslide maybe the year before, and there was tree trunks, you know, way, way taller than you are. And we actually heard growling on the other side, and we were just all going, okay, do we really want to look around there to see what it is? Is it a bear? Is it a, you know, is it a Bigfoot? What is it? But that was probably the only time we got scared. But I mean, we had everything. We had four wheelers. We had trailered in canoes. We did the whole gamut of things, and probably one of the greatest trips I'll ever be able to take in my life, because it was that much fun and that much different than what I was accustomed to here.
Awesome. John,
I've got a quick question. Do you think of the growling that you heard, was it low enough to be maybe particular to a dog man? Because I've heard dog men, they will growl quite low.
You know, I don't know. And at that time, I didn't think that much of dog man. Now it's much more prevalent, and you hear about it a whole lot more. But it could have been. I mean, it was just something that kind of unnerved us a little bit. But, you know, we really never went around the trees and then it stopped. I just can't even explain this big pile of trees. You know, you would have had to walk quite a ways to get around to the other side of it, and you couldn't climb up it. These trees were just, it was kind of like when you see a tsunami and you have all of these trees just pile up. That's what it was like. So you couldn't see it, but you could definitely hear stuff on the other side of it. But it could have been a dog, man. I don't know. Glad I didn't find out, to be truthful.
Yeah, you probably didn't want to in that case. It might have not led to a happy ending.
No. You know, that thin nylon tent's not very protective, you know. Although it's kind of funny, I will not sleep in my car or in the back of my car if I'm just going somewhere and I don't want to take anything. I will not do that because I don't like the idea of anybody or anything looking in. But why I feel like my tent protects me, I don't know. Because, you know, if something wanted to get in your tent, it wouldn't take but just a little bit to get into your tent.
It's kind of like a dividing line between you and the outside.
Right. I mean, if I can't see out, then I'm okay. You know, if you get scared, you just somehow feel like your tent's going to protect you. But, you know, a bear or anything like that could just, you know, one little slash and it's in your tent. But I really just don't like the idea of being in my car. People, you know, they'll car camp. They'll be like, oh, I'll just sleep in the back of my car or the back of my SUV. And I'm like, nope. Can't do that. Can't have something looking in at me.
Now, you've had activity around your tent before, haven't you?
I've had lots of stuff happen, things that you can't explain. We've had, there was a time in North Georgia that my tent was literally right beside another guy's, I mean, not probably 20 feet. And we had went to bed at night, you know, our campsite was clean, and got up in the morning and there was this big pile of sticks right in front of his door, literally right in front of his door. It was like, okay, those sticks did not fall. They were like placed in a pile. And, you know, we did find some tracks, but they weren't real clear. But, you know, who would have done that? Who would have sticks and laid them right there? It was not. I've had my tent pushed down on in the middle of the night. Again, can't say what did it, but definitely something was pushing down on my tent in the middle of the night. That was one of my first expeditions I ever went on, and, you know, that was kind of crazy.
And now I've heard, this is Dr. John, I've heard that Bigfoot is somewhat partial to ladies. Is that true?
You know, you can't prove that. I don't know. I know that typically if there's a lady in the group, especially if she has a high voice or a kid in the group, that we tend to get a little bit more activity on a trail or something, or maybe some type of interaction. You know, whether it's true, I don't know. I think, like, as far as being zapped, I think it's pretty equal as to men and women who that happened to. But I don't know. Maybe Bigfoots do like women better. I don't know.
I think a lot of it's got to do with their menstrual cycle, too. It is the pheromones and...
You know, and there's a lot that goes on about that. A lot of people say that. Again, I can't prove it. Matt, you know, I mean, we have a lot of women on my expeditions, and I don't ever talk to them about that stuff, but there was one particular time that another investigator, a well-known investigator, pretty much said, hey, you shouldn't go out there if you're on your cycle. And, I mean,
yep.
I just looked at her, you know, she was telling another person that, and I was like, you know, there's really no proof to that. And she's like, no, I'm telling you, don't go out there.
I remember that.
You know, Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's true. I can understand how it makes sense. I do think men and women are totally different in the field. And if Sasquatches have any kind of abilities that we don't, you know, that we can't prove, but if they have any kind of abilities, if they have any kind of abilities to be able to tell that kind of stuff, that, you know, I think they relate more to a woman and a woman being more gentle-souled, maybe, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. But just animals in general, if a woman is on her cycle or whatever, you can, you know, a lot of animals will act kind of, I've noticed, you know, they can, they smell it, they know, you know.
Do you think that you should not be out in the woods if you're on your cycle? You think that would attract Bigfoot?
I'm not saying that it will or won't, but I'm willing to use some bait to try and lure them in. That's all I'm
saying. Well, you're
say.
Out of luck with me, buddy. I'm in the old woman. I'm in the old woman section. Okay, you're out of luck there.
Yeah, I would say I'd. You know, I'm not saying that I would do it, but let's just say it's a very good possibility I might.
Knowing you, Matt, you probably would.
Do you tell the audience about your very first encounter, like your very first visual encounter?
Very first visual would have been in 2016 in Kentucky. I was on an expedition, and there were three of us walking down a trail, and we kind of broke off from the main group, and we had told the host that we were like, okay, we're going to go do our own thing, and he was fine with that. He knew us, and he's like, okay. We really didn't know where anybody else was because, like I said, we kind of broke off on our own. And we'd walked down this trail for a little while, and it came to a point that it was a sharp turn, and I don't remember what the wording was, but there was a little sign there that said something like Soggy Bottom Trail, 1.2 miles. And we all kind of looked at each other, and we're like, ugh, I don't want to walk anymore. Like, you know, it's like, I don't want to. I'm tired. So we said, okay, why don't we just all pull out our little stools, because we had these little stools in our backpacks. So why don't we pull out our stools and turn around and just all put our backs to each other, and one of us face this way, one of us face down that trail, and one of us face the way we came in. Well, I popped out my stool, and I turned around, and the way I was going to be looking the way we came in, and when I looked, I saw something walking down the trail. And my first thing I said, and we always have on audio, so all of it's recorded, everything I said, everything that happened, not visually, but audio. So I looked down the trail, and I said, who is that? What is that? Oh, my God, because it was walking, and then it stopped. There was a pretty bright moon out that night, so it was facing me, but I did not see facial features. I just saw hair in what looked like a shape of somebody putting a hat on a hoodie. And that's what I explained. I said it looked like somebody in a hoodie, but it stopped and it turned on a dime, ran straight down the ravine. And as soon as it ran down running down the ravine, all the little tree saplings were moving and the acorns were falling off the tree. And it wasn't windy. Acorns weren't falling anywhere else. And then the coyotes went crazy in the ravine, which we did not even know that they were down there. They had not made any noise. And that was about 60 yards away from me. I have no doubt that what I saw was most likely a juvenile, because it was only about 6 feet tall based on the branch that I saw it stop under. But, yeah, that was 60 yards away. I you know, put my hand on a Bible, that was Bigfoot. No, it wasn't a person, wasn't a deer, wasn't anything else. It was a Bigfoot, and I think it was a juvenile Bigfoot kind of following us, and I think we kind of startled it when we stopped, and it didn't expect us to stop. That's my opinion.
It could have been checking you out.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was. I think it was just kind of, you know, checking us out, and it just stopped. We stopped, and I turned around, and it was walking, and then it was like, oh, whoa, you know. And it just took, it turned on a dime and took off down that ravine. And that ravine was pretty steep. I don't believe any human would have done it without falling. And it wasn't a human. It wasn't a person. It was a Bigfoot.
Okay, that's a very interesting story, Lori. And do you have, like, another couple of stories to share with us? And by the way, before you do, I'll say thank you very much for Transamerica Life Insurance Corporation for sponsoring this episode of ScaryCast Tuesday. Transamerica Life Insurance, the company that you need. We make things easier. Give me a call, Dr. John Stamey, at 843-655-8775. Again, 843-655-8775. I'm licensed in multiple states. Thanks a lot, and back to you, Lori.
Sure. So what kind of stories do you want to hear? I had something happen just this past weekend that nobody knows about yet.
Oh, tell us.
This one's kind of crazy, and this is actually the second time that something like this has happened to me. We were scouting in an area, and I kind of went to the we kind of separated in the group. There were nine of us, and then, you know, I said, you know what, this group is too big. Y'all need to go further down the road or something. But long story short, the other group, I said, when you get to your location, I want you to do your flashlight. I want to see if I can see where you're at, because I knew where they were going. It wasn't that far. So when I saw their flashlight flashing, you know, like the Batmobile or whatever, and I went to the edge of the woods, and there was another guy behind me, maybe 20, 30 feet, but I went to the edge of the woods, and I just stepped just inside the wood line because I thought, I want to have a line of sight to where they are. And I was standing there, and I got a just really weird vibe. And I turned to the guy behind me, and like I said, he was 20 to 30 feet behind me, and I called out his name, and I said, something's not right. And about that time, I went down on my back. I mean, something hit me, not physically, but something hit me, and I fell backwards onto my back. And, of course, they came running over, and they're like, are you okay? Are you okay? And, you know, I'm like, I'm fine, but I don't know what happened, but something happened. Well, in the meantime, that other group, the coyotes started going off just really, really close. As a matter of fact, I really kind of thought they were in between us. And that other group walked back to us, and the other people were saying, you know, what happened to me, and there were some guys beside me that said, I just saw something, you know, in the woods right there. I saw a head. I saw this. And so the guys that had separated from us said, well, were you throwing things at us? And I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, well, you know, you flashed your light. We knew where you were at, but why were you throwing rocks at us? I said, I never threw a thing. I would never do that. And they said, well, we thought you were just trying to stir something up. And I said, I would still never do that. That's not how I roll. So something in between us was obviously throwing rocks at them. And they thought it was me. And I don't know what happened and why I got zapped like I did. But that's not, you know, that's not the first time. That's probably the fourth time I've been zapped. And something happened like that about a year, a little over a year ago, the same thing, knocked me on my back. And the guy standing right next to me said, she just got clotheslined. And I was standing perfectly still, and something hit me and knocked me down. Whether that's Bigfoot, I don't know. You know, I don't know. I tend to think that's something a little bit more paranormal, but I can't prove it either way.
That goes to spending time out in the field, getting that X factor of this stuff going.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've not told that story that literally just happened on Saturday night. I didn't pass out. It was nothing like that, but just it was some force hit me, and I literally fell back. One of the guys said it looked like I was taking like the old Nestea plunge where you just fall back into the pool. He said I just fell backwards. Didn't get hurt or anything. It was kind of muddy. But, I've told people about the other situation that happened, a little over a year ago, and they were standing there with me and said, we can't explain it. And at that time when that happened, there was all sorts of howls and whoops and hollers and stuff going on. Again, I can't say that that's Bigfoot, but I also can't say what it is. And I don't know why it happens to me. I don't know if it's because I'm the one that's closest to them or if I give off some type of vibe that they feel like they need to back me up. I don't know.
Now, you've been backed up before, pretty sure, haven't you? I remember.
Several times.
Yeah.
Several
like walking
times.
Walking into a wall or something, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was the one where it ended up knocking me down. And then the very first time I was zapped that I think was, I feel fairly certain was Bigfoot activity, that was in Wisconsin. And that one was totally different because I felt a very big sense of dread and an overwhelming sense of I'm not going to make it out of here alive. And that's the only time I felt that was that first time. All the other times that this has happened to me, and I was the first one to tell you that zapping or anything was not possible. I thought that was the craziest thing I've ever heard in my life. But yet, once it happens to you, I somehow feel like you open yourself up to it happening again and again and again and again. Yeah. I told somebody, I said, I feel like I'm in the zap zone or something. I don't know.
For a lot of people that don't know, being zapped is a term that Bigfoot researchers use when we're out in the field. And they say, oh, that's not possible. But what it is, you can prove it. It's possible because tigers, elephants, stuff like that use it to infrasound. And too much of that on a human can make you physically sick. So we believe that when we get too close or something like that, that you get zapped is what our term used. Zapped, you'll feel sick. I remember one time, Lori, that we were in North Georgia, and me and another researcher, I had that weird feeling up on that mountain road.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have four-wheel drive. Something threw a rock. It hit the top of my car. So we stop and get out, and I toss a rock back up on the cliff side, and something big started moving through the laurels. The other researcher on the other end was total skeptic. At the time, he'd never seen one, but he was kind of, he wanted to believe. And then it kind of went towards his side, and I looked at him, and I told him, so where it stopped closer to him, he tossed a rock up there, and then it started moving again, and his eyes was like, holy cow. He's like, whatever threw that rock down here and hit the car, definitely had an opposable thumb, and this was an area where there wasn't no people. Well, later that night, I remember us going up there, and flashlight quit working in that area, the thermal, and I believe you got physically sick. Didn't you get a migraine and feel nauseous?
I got a really bad headache, yep. I really remember that. And, again, I don't feel like they're really doing it to harm you. I really feel like it's just a protection of themselves. They're just kind of like an electric fence. It's like, okay, wait a minute, back up. You're too close to me or too close to my family or whatever. Anything that, that we would do to protect our family.
Absolutely.
I feel like they use their infrasound in that aspect. I don't feel like they're doing it just to, you know, I don't feel like they're evil and they're doing it to harm you.
Right. It's more of a warning, a kind of step back, kind of.
Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, I think if they wanted to hurt you, they could hurt you.
and they could hurt you with
something other than infrasound. You know, they could charge you and you know, harm you, kill you, whatever, if they really wanted to. So that's why I don't feel like it's meant to hurt you. Yeah, sometimes you might get physically ill or something from it, but I don't think it's meant to harm you in a extreme way.
Kind of just to slow you down.
Right.
And we don't know if they do it intentionally or if they maybe a reaction where they get spooked and it automatically their defense mechanism or.
Well, right.
What?
I mean, you know, and I think the same thing about when they say Bigfoot smell bad. I don't believe that. I don't think they smell different than any other animal or human. You know, we all have our own scent. Sorry, that reminds me of something I read today. Good old Matt.
Go ahead and tell him.
That was talking to John, and you better be careful about me because you say something interesting. I'm going to say, all right, tell us about it.
I'll just finish my conversation about the scent. I believe that they don't smell bad. I believe, like a skunk, I believe they use that scent as a defense mechanism as well. I don't think they just randomly smell bad. I think it's – because, I mean, both times that I have been within 60 yards of a Bigfoot, I didn't smell anything. And other people have said they don't smell stuff. So I think it's only when they're alarmed, kind of like a skunk, that they use those scent glands. Again, I can't prove that. We can't prove anything without physically having a body and knowing that, which I hope we never have.
My first encounter before I even, didn't even believe in Bigfoot, my very first encounter, and it had an odor. You could smell it before it even got there. And then I never knew what made that smell, but actually after I had the physical sighting, but prior to that, there was huge grass beds that stunk. They had an odor to them. So I don't know if it's just, the environment, if they're, now the one that I encountered was more orangutan skunk ape type. It had longer hair. Could have been its body, you know, it didn't maintain, you know, good personal hygiene. I don't know. But you could smell that thing way before it got there. And those grass beds smelled nasty. So, but it could be totally different species.
Maybe I'm wrong. It could be. I mean, strange that you don't always hear about that.
No, but I knew prior to that, whenever that thing was around, that odor come through the air. You knew it was around. Didn't know what it was at the time until I actually had my physical sighting. But there was always an odor, and the grass bed smelled like that odor. But I just thought it was some nasty animal, you know.
Yeah.
But, like I said, what I encountered was more orangutan type, more not as not the patty type or anything like that. Mine was more of a primate.
If you look at all the pictures and the drawings of Bigfoot that people have seen, I believe there are several different, I don't want to say species, genus or whatever. I think there's different, they look different in different areas. And maybe they have slightly different abilities or different things that they do in different areas. You know, just like you're talking about the skunk ape. The skunk ape is somewhat smaller than the 10, 12 foot Bigfoots that you might find in the Northwest, or the ones that have a little bit more human face, or the ones that have a little bit more gorilla type face.
I believe they're two different.
Lori,
species.
You know, Lori, this is Dr. John, and I've got a question for you. When you talk about the marked difference between the standard Bigfoot up here in the Carolinas, in Georgia, and eastern Tennessee, and the Bigfoot down there at Skunk Ape World Headquarters, you know, and you say that that they're different. Now, why would there be a different species, sort of, down there in Florida versus one up here in the Carolinas? What do you think about that?
You know, I don't know why. I mean, I don't know why. But, you know, if you know, just take a look sometime at all the different pictures or all the different, or think about what is that, the Orang Pendek. It's totally different species, but yet it's their type of Bigfoot. You know, what is that? You know, so I don't know. Is it the way that they maybe crossbreed? Are they adaptive to their environment? You know, think about the woolly mammoth. The woolly mammoth was adapted to its environment. You know, that's why it had all the long, you know, the long hair in it. So is it based on food availability or I don't know. I can't answer that question because I don't know why, but I do believe there are several different types of Squatches out there. You know, I don't think we just have the standard model 901 Squatch that is out there. I think there's a lot of different breeds. And, you know, look at the picture. Some of them, it shows that they have canine-type teeth. That's what the people who are, you know, describing them say. Then others say, no, they have more teeth that look like humans. You know?
Exactly.
Why?
As you talk about the skunk ape, I was going to say, my encounter was in northern Indiana, and mine was more the skunk ape from looking from, like, what's in the Everglades and then the swamps in the south is what it looked like. And then in 2003, whenever in Campbell County, Tennessee, when I was investigating that two-week sighting stretch, all the witness reports, you had a picture of Patty and you had a picture of skunk ape. All of them said it looked like skunk ape. So that skunk ape type, I've seen the one I've seen very similar to the skunk ape up in northern Indiana, and then you're having it in East Tennessee, in La Follette, Tennessee. Hmm. So a lot of people say, oh, it's just mainly in the south. You hear a lot of it in the south, but I physically have seen the one up in northern Indiana, and all these other eyewitnesses for 2 weeks straight were seeing one similar, whether...
What's the environment like in northern Indiana?
Flat. The area that I lived at was flat, but I was in a well-wooded area, but I had the river, the Wabash River, Sugar Creek right behind our house, and the Tippecanoe River. They all ran into each other right there in that area. So,
yeah.
But they weren't there until probably I got into high school, all the way up until I was probably at least 6-7 years that I know of for sure that they were in that area, but they weren't in there before. I don't know if something has moved them or if they were. It's hard to say, actually. You know,
well,
what.
there's no reason for one type not to move into another area. I mean, it's like when people tell me, "Oh, we don't have any venomous snakes in our state," and I'm like, "What? Do they stop at the state line and say, oh, we can't go here?" I'm like, "No, they don't." You know, there's no reason why they could not venture into another area that they're typically not known to be in.
But the habitat.
But, you know, when you typically hear about the really large ones, it's in the upper west.
Yes.
Or, you know, you hear very much about 8 feet ones and, you know, all in the Appalachians, you know, always you hear of really big ones. But yet you never, ever hear of any really large ones in Florida, you know, that's typically a smaller stature.
Yep. And but the
gotcha.
Area, the habitat, like La Follette, it was around the lake, so it was wet, kind of swampy, same way up there in Indiana.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So very similar habitat, just different climate.
It's all the more reason why we have to keep researching all the time, just so that we can data points. What do we know? What do we not know? There's probably a whole lot more that we don't know than we do know.
Just when you think you got it, you get more questions.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Well, it really is wonderful, you know, to talk with you, Lori, because you've got a lot of experience. And what would you say, if I had to use the word exciting, what would be the most exciting, for whatever reason, Bigfoot encounter you've ever had?
Exciting. Well, they're all exciting in different aspects. I mean, I love being out in the woods. And, you know, and I wouldn't dare tell you that I don't ever get scared, because I do. Sometimes just being out in the woods in the middle of the night is unnatural.
It's scary.
Sometimes I make
no pun intended. It's scary, right?
Yeah, it is sometimes. Sometimes I am perfectly fine and, you know, never scared. But then, you know, there's those times that you just kind of, you know, you got to kind of get your dander up. And you're like, okay, wait a minute. Something just doesn't feel right. And that could be for any reason. I mean, there could be a mountain lion nearby or a bear. You know, it's just that sixth sense that you have. But, I mean, I would say, I would say probably most exciting would probably be my Vancouver Island trip, even though that didn't, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of activity there. We had, we actually saw some orbs or something, but it was just the total different atmosphere. You know, it was just what I wasn't used to. And that was way back in the beginning. So now I've got so much more research and time in the woods under my belt. But, I mean, I still go out every time finding something new or finding something exciting. I mean, this past weekend was one of those times. I mean, how exciting was that somebody thought they saw something? And, I mean, we had lights. We were call blasting coyote sounds and probably got those coyotes a little bit too close to us, to be honest. But it was still exciting and fun and just being in the
yeah.
woods and trying to figure it all out.
Well, that's wonderful, Lori. I mean, it was a bit informal, but it was very formally speaking a sighting, right?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, can we absolutely say that we saw a Bigfoot this weekend? No. Do I really think that that's what was going on and that's what someone saw? Absolutely. Based on so many things that were going on, I really feel like there was something there. And it was in an area I had not researched before, so that was exciting, going to somewhere new. I love going to the places that I'm familiar with because you always find something different. But when you go in blind to an area you've not been in before and something happens, you just feel like, I mean, it's exciting because you just feel like you've done your job, that you chose somewhere good.
Absolutely.
You remember
it makes you feel like, you know, what you've done is worthwhile. Yes, Matt?
Right.
I was going to say, I remember the incident that we had the rock thrown at us, and it caught you off guard up there in North Georgia.
Yeah, I got a little scared then. I was just like, okay, what's going on here? You know, who's throwing
yeah.
rocks at us?
And, I don't know, a lot of people say I kind of get a little psycho sometimes out there because once we start getting
mm-hmm.
activity, I try to egg it on, but... A lot of people.
And you know what? I have as well. There are times when people are like, let's go,
right.
let's go, let's go. And I'm like, no, we're not going anywhere. This is what we're here for. But
exactly.
Again,
exactly.
Just
right.
like when that rock was thrown, for that particular reason, I don't know why, but that one kind of made me uncomfortable. I was just like, okay, I'm scared. You know, I'm nervous.
the whole,
you know, I want to come home to my family, you know. I want to make sure that, you know, I don't die in the woods. And you know, I'm probably more scared of crazy people in the woods than I am crazy squatches or crazy animals.
Right.
You know, when you're doing this kind of thing, you walk up on things sometimes that you're not supposed to see. Or, you know, you walk up on mess makers or things like that, and you're just like, back out. I remember one time in Kentucky walking up on a steel, and I was like, we need to hightail it out of here as quick as we got in here. And they're like, why? And I'm like, we're going to get shot. Like, we don't need to be here. Just change locations. But, you know, I've walked up on people. Yeah, I've walked up on, like, homeless people that are out in the woods or something that you're just like, okay, this makes me a little nervous. I don't feel like we should be in this person's space. Because you never know. I mean, who was it, that guy that hid in the forest for how long? That killer or that bomber or whatever? I don't know.
North Carolina.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and he was sneaking into people's houses and garbage cans and everything else. And, you know, they didn't find him for, what, months and months, or was it even years? I don't remember the exact.
I believe he come out of the mountains is how they caught him, wasn't it?
I think so. I think they caught him like that. But you just never know. I mean, when I was little, my grandmother had, she had a basement with like an old dirt floor, you know. It was more like a cellar, but it was a basement. You know, you walked in the door, and she kept the potatoes down there, and she kept all her canning vegetables down there. And crazy thing happened is that one night she was not home, and somebody said, hey, we saw like a flashlight or something in your house. And they ended up calling the sheriff's department or whatever, and turns out that this escaped convict had been living in her basement for 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And coming up at night, coming up her back stairs at night and going into her kitchen and stuff while she was asleep. You know, and I'm like, holy crap. You've got to be kidding me. But that's, you know, those are the things that scare me, not squatches or whatever. Yeah, and I'm a little bit deathly afraid of snakes, but, you know, that's my weakness.
Well, I think some people really are afraid of snakes, and there are people that are a little bit afraid of Bigfoot, so that's true. So now I tell you what, Matt Delf, we're going to give you the final word because we're almost at the top of the hour and time for Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero, so you just have to close this out and double-click on that pinned post for Clyde Lewis and Ground Zero. So now give us your final question or comment for Lori Wade.
Okay. What is your most, well, I know you said that you, what is your most paranormal, like, have you seen orbs? Have you seen different lights in the woods? Have you heard mechanical sounds? What is your most extreme X factor type?
All of
encounter.
The above. All of the above. I have seen lights in the woods more times than I can count. I understand that some of them are, you know, gas or whatever, but some of them are not. I was with someone one time. I did not see it. They were looking through a therm, and they said they saw, their words were, it looked like electricity run across the road. And I said, what do you mean? And they said it looked just like Predator, like it was glitching. I think that freaked me out a little bit. I didn't see it personally, but I knew this person, and I knew this person well. I knew that they weren't lying. If they said that happened, then that happened. But, yeah, I mean, we saw lights this weekend. I mean, anything from white to blue to red that we could not explain. And I know for a fact in that area we were the only ones out there. There was no one else out there. So I don't know what it is, you know, and I can't explain it. So,
right. So I tell you what, Lori, we have really enjoyed speaking with you tonight.
I'm going to ask you a forward question. Would you like to come back again sometime in the next month or two?
Sure. Sure I would. I'm always willing to talk.
We would love to have you. And so thanks. And now what have you got going on the next couple of months or so in terms of appearances or things
well,
that you'll be leaving?
I'm really busy the next couple of months. I'm going to the Florida Bigfoot Conference April 23rd. And then the week I get back, I have a expedition that I'm hosting in East Tennessee. And then the next 3 weeks after that, I'm at festivals and conferences. I'm Townsend. I'm in Marion, North Carolina. I'm speaking in Marion, as a matter of fact. Just, you know, a busy, busy time. And then I've got my fourth grandchild is due the beginning of June. So I'll pretty much kind of take June off a little bit.
Congratulations.
Gotcha. Yeah, congratulations
you.
on the fourth grandkid. May you have a fifth.
May I not? No, that's not true. That's not true. I love my grandkids.
That's great.
I've been trying to teach teach them how to go squatching.
And I can tell you one thing, that they've got a great grandmother, and so thank you very much. And Matt, what have you got going on in the next couple of weeks or month? And we're going to shut. We'll close this thing down.
I've got, of course, the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. I'll be speaking there.
Absolutely. At 9 a.m. on April the 1st.
Yep. And it's not April Fool's joke. It's the real deal. then I believe I was invited to an expedition in East Tennessee at the end of April.
I believe so. I believe
and,
so.
and then after that, I've got a lot of research. Some festivals like Lori talked about. I'm planning another trip to New Orleans. I'm wanting to go to the Bridgewater Triangle here this spring before it gets too super hot in the swampy areas. But I've got quite a bit in the process and being planned anyhow.
There's just not enough time, is there? I mean, there's not enough time to do all the things you want to do.
And this job stuff is really cut into my social time.
That's right. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. We're going to say good evening. Thanks a lot for being here, Lori. Thanks for being here, Matt. And we'll see you next week, same bat time, same bat channel, for Scary Cast Tuesday. And as we fade on into the sunset and listen to our lovely theme music again, we hope that everybody will join us for Clyde Love and Ground Zero, 10 p.m. Just check out that link at ScaryCast. Thanks a lot. We'll see you next week on the one, the only ScaryCast. And everybody say goodbye.
Good night, everyone.
Bye, everybody. Take care.